Mr. Button, how are you?
I am very good, Mr. Greger. How are you today?
Hey, I'm outstanding, my man. I am outstanding. I saw the guy who I know you're a big fan of, Mr. Provorov, in town for a few games for the Brandon Wheat Kings, and he did not disappoint. I don't know if did you catch any of that series at all?
I did not. You know, I did watch the games on TV and Tuesday and Wednesday, and you know, you watch them, right, Jason, and you just see kind of a real ease to his play, and not a lot of flash, but just he knows how to be effective just about anywhere on the ice.
Oh, yeah, and like, who would you compare his style as far as NHL defenseman?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting for me. The fact that he plays in Brandon, and he plays for Kelly McCrimmon, but, you know, my dear friend, dearly departed Brad McCrimmon, he doesn't have the same edge as Brad, but I think he's got the same type of ability to think and handle any situation in the game. I mean, a lot of people may not know this, but in terms of plus-minus and whether it's relevant or whatnot, Brad is 11th all-time in NHL history. 11th. So, you know, you have to be able to play both ends of the rink. You have to make good plays with the puck. And, you know, Brad had that edge, and Brad was tough and hard-nosed. And I think that the game today is a lot different. So, you know, Brad is one player that really comes to mind. The other player that comes to mind for me is Andre Markov with the Montreal Canadiens. You know, they're in the right places. They're in the right spots. They're making the right plays. You know, you don't see a lot of blunders in their game whatsoever. And so those are the two guys that when I talk about complete players, command of the game, you know, a real understanding of what play needs to be made at any particular time, those are the two guys that come to mind for me.
Craig Button joins us. Craig, I always like to give me your thoughts first of all on the Byfuglien suspension.
I think he could count as lucky stars, and I'll tell you, I'll go in order. Number one, that he had no suspension history. Number two, that JT Miller did not get a serious injury, because you know when you look at the act, and you know people talk about the act. I mean, if JT Miller ends up hurt, it's double digits. And if he had a previous suspension history, it might be double before. It was vicious. It was a non-hockey play. It was on a defenseless player. I mean, he has the opportunity to come back and play the last regular season game of the season. And I do. I think he's one lucky guy that a lot of other things didn't go bad. Jamie McLennan last night and I were talking, and he said, you know, Todd Bertuzzi, you know, wasn't trying to break Steve Moore's neck. He was trying to hurt him. Let's not make any mistake about that. But he wasn't trying to break his neck. But that ended up really badly. It ended up badly for Steve Moore, obviously, and most importantly. And because of that, it ended up really badly for Todd Bertuzzi. I mean, if JT Miller ends up with a cracked vertebrae or something along the same lines, I mean, Dustin Byfuglien's in the same type of situation.
Craig Button joins us. I would agree with you. We definitely got off lucky. And, you know, it's a difficult job, player discipline. I understand it. I wonder if they'd be better off if they just said, okay, this type of infraction is worth this. And I know that some are going to say, well, some elbows are worse than others. But if you set on the line and say, if you have a direct blow to the head, first time offense, automatic 4 games. Second time offense, 7 games. It leaves or gets rid of the gray area. You think that's possible?
Yeah, you know, like, I don't think Colin Campbell gets enough credit, Jason, for implementing, you know, what I would call a sliding scale or an increasing scale of justice. And he tried to set precedents. But the one thing that Colin ran into, that Brendan Shanahan ran into, and now Stephane Quintal runs into, is that every play isn't the same. Every infraction that they're assessing and applying supplemental discipline to isn't the same in terms of how it unfolded, who the player is, what the previous history is, was there an injury? Because all those things come into play. And, you know, I would like to see the act penalized, but the fact of the matter remains is that, you know, it's no different than our justice system outside of hockey. You know, If you murder somebody, it's murder. But if you're in a fight and it's accidental, it's manslaughter. The end result is no different. Somebody has died. But you know what's ended up happening in it in terms of how it's treated, it can be different. And I think that as much as we would like to move it to a more black and white situation, it remains and will always remain gray.
Craig, one player who there's a lot of talk about heading in the draft, of course, is Lawson Crouse. You had him in your last rankings, I think 12th. When you look to him now he's obviously had Sam Bennett come back, and in his first 37 games, he had 30 points. In his last 19 games, he has 21 points. Obviously, that helps playing with Bennett. Has your thoughts on Lawson Crouse changed at all?
Not really. I think Lawson's a good, solid player. I don't see him as a real top offensive guy. I mean, if he could end up being like an Andrew Ladd, I think that would be pretty impressive. But okay. There's been no indication to me that he has that offensive finish. I mean, I think 20 goals might be a stretch for him at the National Hockey League level. And you just pointed it out, playing with Sam Bennett, I think benefited him. Now, the same thing could happen at the National League level. Lawson's big. Lawson can skate. Lawson is smart, and you know he's able to impact the game in some different ways. But you know, to me, top end players, you know, need to produce offensively, and I don't see that as being one of his strong suits. I see it as a capable part of his game, but not one of his strong suits.
And that's fair. Exactly. If you're taking guys in the first round, you want to be looking at players who are not just going to be solid guys. Like if he becomes Andrew Ladd, then you'd be extremely happy, right? But that's kind
right.
of the top end one. You can't take a guy who's going to be a really good third liner in the top 10.
Well, you can.
Yeah.
You can. But I mean, for me, Jason, the way I project it out is I want those guys that can be really. Like, you know, I like it really what I go is okay, who are the superstars? Who are the stars? Who are the elite players? And then go down from there, right? And hey, listen, 12th on the list. I mean, I'm saying that I think he's one of the 12th best player in 3 to 5 years' time in terms of NHL ability. So that's, in my view, that's really good. So, but I'm going to take guys ahead of him. And I'll be straightforward with you, Jason. I mean, that number could slip from. It's not going to move up. I tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to move. It's not going to move ahead, and it could slip a little bit. He'll be playing at the U18. You know, let me just. I'm going to take a chance for a rant here.
Yeah.
Kingston Frontenacs. They decide to sit out a whole bunch of players down the stretch. Sam Bennett, Lawson Crouse, Roland McEwen. They wanted to get their players rested for the playoffs. Well, I'll tell you what. They're down 3-0. They're probably going to go out tonight in the fourth game. And I'm sure glad that they rested those players. Because,
yeah.
Heading into the offseason, you would hate to be tired.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I've always wondered why. Especially, like, these kids are 17 and 18.
Oh.
They don't need rest. They only play on the weekends for the most part.
Sam Bennett missed the whole season, and you're sitting him out? You're resting him?
Yeah.
I mean, Sam Bennett could have played 3 games on a weekend and mini sticks between games in the hallway at the hotel.
One other guy, a local guy, Jake DeBrusk, of course, Edmonton player in Swift Current, is really shown that offensive upside for sure. A guy who from his first year in the Western League until now has really emerged and developed as a solid player, and it just keeps creeping up your draft list. Where should we? Could he crack the top 20 in the April rankings?
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he definitely could. I love Jake. There's three things I love about Jake. I think he's got excellent offensive awareness and instincts. He knows where to go. He understands what, where plays are unfolding. You know, not just when his team has the puck and whether he has the puck or a teammate has the puck, but when opponents have the puck, he really understands how to put them in vulnerable positions and how to take advantage of them. Number two, he's a real strong competitor. And I think once Jake physically matures and, He moves into that area of man strength. He's already involved in the hard areas and along the boards and the body-on-body battles. And once that strength comes, I think he's going to be a player that's really hard to push away from those areas. And the third thing is, I think he's a player that can make plays on the rush, and he can make plays to set up a goal, and he can set up plays to finish it, and he can finish plays. And, you know, those types of wingers that can both make a play and finish a play, they're not commonplace. And I think that just speaks to, you know, the sense that he has playing the game, but a real nice, well-roundedness to his game. And, like, the progression has been really significant. And I do. I really, really like Jake. In fact, I love him.
Craig, always great to catch up with you. Have a great Easter.
You have a great Easter, too. Thanks. And enjoy the weekend and the spring days ahead.
You betcha. I love it. Craig Button from TSN.